Heavenly Father, we come before you in the name of Jesus. We come before your throne boldly, seeking your mercy, seeking your grace, seeking your presence. And we thank you, Lord, that you've allowed us by your grace, by the blood of your Son, to come before you, that we don't have to be fearful, that we don't need to think about our guilt or any shame, that we can just come knowing you're a forgiving God. So Lord, we just ask that you would bless us this morning. We ask that you would be glorified and honored, and we ask that you would soften our hearts by your Holy Spirit to just hear from you, to see what you are trying to show us, and just take pleasure in our worship this morning. Help us, Lord, to be open with you. We love you so much, God. We pray and we ask these things in the name of Jesus. Amen.
Jesus. Apostle Paul just said it simply, God is faithful. Hallelujah. Lord, you have been and will always be faithful. You will never leave us. You will never forsake us. Because you are the God who is faithful. Thank you, Lord. Come on, just take another moment before we do anything else and just express your gratitude to Him. To Him who is faithful. The Revelation ends with a picture of Jesus coming on a white horse. And it says, to Him who is the faithful and true. All my life I found Him to be faithful and true. You'll hear about that today. Thank you, Father, for your immense goodness. In just a moment, I'm going to ask you to be seated. But before you do that, I'm going to ask all of you who came prepared today, you brought either a paper or a digital copy of your medical bill. Nobody's looking at it. It's yours. Nobody's collecting it. It was nothing. Lord, put this upon my heart several weeks ago to take a moment in one of our services, and today's that moment, to pray that every one of you would be free from any kind of long-standing or large medical debt. This is the moment right now. I'm going to tell you what's going to happen. We're going to pray in faith. And several things are going to happen. Some of you are going to find suddenly that your bill has been erased for no explicable reason. And you're going to call and you're going to say, is that right? And say, it's correct. Some of you will receive unexpected sums of money that you will use to pay that bill. Amen? You watch it. That's what's going to happen. If that's you today, and I have several friends who wrote to me and said, please pray for me, which I'll include them too. But if that's you, slip out right now. Stand across the front here. Nobody's judging and nobody's looking down on you. We're standing with you. If you're here today and you're saying, God, I need to be free from the medical debt, and I don't care if it's $1,000 or $100,000, come now, stand across the front. Don't wait. Hallelujah. Just two of you? Three of you? Hallelujah. Anybody else? Anybody else before I go on here? Just come now. If you're sitting there saying, well, it's not that big of a deal, well, if you want to continue to hang on to it, that's up to you. I'm going to pray, and I'm going to trust the Lord. I'm praying for those of you online, and I'm going to pray for my friends who wrote to me as well and said, please pray for me. You think God will hear an answer? God has a little bit of a surprise for you in just a moment, so hang on. We'll do this first. Do you believe God cares about this? I know He does. Let's pray. I'm praying in agreement with your will that you revealed to me, so I have confidence that you'll hear me and that you'll respond because you're leading me to do this. And so with that full assurance in my heart and in my God and my spirit, I ask you, God, for everybody standing here, everybody that's online, and my friends that contacted me, I'm asking you to erase any medical debt. I'll leave it up to you how you do it. You're better at it than me, that's for sure. And I'm asking you to supernaturally do this for the power of your glory, through the power of your glory, and for the honor of your great name. We simply ask this. I ask it in the authority of Jesus' name and for your glory. With that, I have assurance that you will do this. And you'll be glorified through it all. In the mighty name of Jesus. And remember what happens when God answers. You do two things, right? You give Him glory. And what's the second thing? You tell me so I can rejoice with you. Now here's the surprise. The Lord told me to do this too, but I didn't tell you about it. I believe it's the will of God for no one in this house to have debt. of any kind. That's a crazy statement. And I believe that the Lord wants me to pray for everybody in this house that has debt. I don't care what kind of debt it is. Student debt. Debt from being dumb. Debt from things that happened to you you couldn't control. You know, mistakes that were made. Just things that happened to us in life. Whatever it was. He hasn't put any kind of like parameters on me. He just said, pray for the release of debt. I believe it's important that you get out of debt. Amen? I believe that's very important. If you've got debt, nobody's judging you. Nobody's looking down on you. None of that nonsense. We stand together. Amen? We stand together. Brothers and sisters in the same battle. If you've got debt, then come on right now. And we're going to pray that God supernaturally releases you from that. Come on, right now. I'm not going to drag it out. You come now. I don't care what kind of debt it is. Maybe you're carrying debt from the past that's just become an anchor to you. Maybe some of you are looking at debt saying, I will never climb out of this. Well, that's going to change. Do you believe it? Maybe the microphone was off. Do you believe it? I pray this way because I know this is what the Lord wants me to do. I don't pray for any other reason. My passion is for you to be free from debt so that you are free to do what God tells you to do. Amen? Stories I could tell you. Pray with me right now. I'm going to tell you now, again, I'm going to tell you, please, it's very important that you hear this. We're praying that God will give you wisdom to know how to manage your money. Maybe stop making some of the same mistakes. We're going to pray that the devil doesn't steal your money. We're going to pray that God brings finances in and that you're not going to go buy something that you don't really need, but you're going to retire debt. Amen? Big temptation there. So let's pray. Again, Father, I do this at your direction. You told me to do it just like this, and I'm doing it just like you said. And God, I know something about you. You're not cheap nor broke. And Lord, if you're laying upon my heart, if you're directing me to pray that your people here at Seaport, I can't control what happens to other people, but here I can. I ask you, the mighty God, the creator of all things, that you would release, God, every single person from debt. God, I don't care what kind of debt it is. Good debt, bad debt, stupid debt. You're the God of great mercy and great care and great kindness. And Lord, we're going to need wisdom because we don't want to make the same mistake over again. And Lord, we want to be wise and we're going to need to learn how to do that and handle things right and honor you and all that. And so help us to do that too, I pray. But Father, right now in the name of Jesus, I pray for the supernatural release from all debt. Just say this with me. Thank you, Lord, I'm trusting you. Thank you, Lord, I'm trusting you. Say it one more time. Thank you, Lord, I'm trusting you. won't be coincidence. Don't think that when it happens. It'll be supernatural. We trust you now, Father. We've done your will. We expect your response. Thank you. Amen. Go ahead and be seated. Let's trust God together. Amen. Let's trust God together. Hallelujah. And make sure you thank God and tell me. Hallelujah. Be seated, everybody. Rolando, come on up here. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thanks, worship band. Appreciate it. Amen.
Hallelujah. Well, welcome again. And if you're here for the first time, we want to especially welcome you. Or if you're new to Seaport, we want to welcome you. And we normally do that by clapping for you. So could we just give a round of applause for our first-time visitors? I just want to say real quick, it's such a blessing and such an encouragement that we all actually pray together as a body. And that's just it's just amazing. I just wanted to express my gratefulness for that and for our pastors and everybody that's here. But yes, please get connected with us. We want to get connected with you. We don't want this to just be a come in, say hi, bye type of thing. We want everybody to get connected and understand their role. So the best way to do that is to hit the QR code that is on the seat backs in front of you. Just point your camera at that and you get connected with us that way. You can also get connected with us on social media, Facebook, YouTube, a bunch of things like that. And you could also text welcome to the number that's going to pop up on the screen behind me. So those are all the ways to get connected. And please do that because it's our privilege, it's our honor, and we can bless each other that way. But here's Chris.
Thanks, Rolando. Well, you know what? It's crazy. The prayer we were just praying about financial blessing and God blessing us, because I didn't know Pastor Brad was going to do that. And I have a bold question for you, and that is, when was the last time you had asked God about your giving? And are you giving generously? You know, we talk about strength and praying for strength when we're weak. We talk about, you know, praying for wisdom when we have like a big decision that we need to make. We talk about healing and comfort when we are sick, you know, and we talk about growth and being more Christ-like. And as we were worshiping, John, can you bring up "I Will Give You Everything" from the last song? You know, we were just worshiping that. And so I got to ask, are you giving everything, whether it be your time, your talent, or your finances? You know, it's real easy to put things on autopilot, right? Where we get comfortable with our time and all the great things that we have in our life, and we give, you know, we sprinkle a little Jesus on it and we give a little time to the church. But when was the last time we really looked at our finances and said, "God, I'm going to give you first. I'm going to give to you first with my finances"? You know, we have lots of debt and medical debt and all these things. But if we look at, are we really giving first to God to let him do? Do we have the faith that it takes to give him our finances? Because that's usually the last thing that we look at. We're like, "Ooh, I don't know if I have enough money to make it. I don't know if I have enough to make it this month." In that moment, do we say, "I'm going to give it to God first, and I'm going to trust in him, and I'm going to put my full faith and assurance in him without any question that he will take care of us"? So ask yourself right now, am I just on autopilot, or am I being used sacrificially? Am I sacrificially giving so that he can grow me, so that he can use me, so that he can do things through you, but not just to do things through you, but also do things in you, to build that faith and to increase that faith by giving to him and letting him do what he says he's going to do and take care of us? Lord, I just ask that we listen to you and we obey, Lord. And we let you do what only you can do, Lord. And there's lots of ways to give. You can give on autopilot, but I ask that you look at that and examine that. And it's easy to give through the Church Center app. It's easy to bring a check if that's what you want to do. It's easy to put in the giving kiosks. There's lots of ways to do it. So ask yourself right now, am I truly giving him everything? Amen. And so we have lots of opportunities. So if you haven't downloaded the Church Center app, make sure you do that. If you don't know how to do that, it's right on the QR code in the seat back in front of you. You can download the Church Center app like that, and you can sign up for all the awesome opportunities that we have coming up. There is a great experience for men and boys to grow and learn through pre-Ranger Fest and Ranger Fest, and that's coming up. If you have not gone public with your decision to follow Jesus, we are having a water baptism on June 1st, so make sure you're signing up in the app if you don't have it. And then Rolando and Bree, they're going to be hosting a young event or a young adult assembly called The Assembly coming up this week. And then summer camps. If you haven't sent your kid to summer camp, man, that is such an awesome way for them to connect with other youth and just to connect with God through summer camp. And then there's also a Stars retreat that's coming up. And then the newcomers reception. If you're new to Seaport and you've never been to one, you know, once a month we have a newcomers reception where you get to learn all about the church. It's held on Sundays and it'll be right in the fireplace room on June 5th. And then, hey, if you've been coming here for a little bit and you haven't figured out where you're supposed to serve or you want to know where God wants to use you or what your God-designed role here at Seaport is, make sure that you guys sign up for Engage. That's also on June 5th. It's a webinar with Pastor Brad. And then this Wednesday, Pastor Brad is going to be finishing up our series, and he's going to be talking about how the Holy Spirit operates within us today. And so at this time, I'm going to be releasing all of the youth, high school and middle school, to the youth room. And Pastor Brad.
Thanks, Chris. Appreciate that. Next Sunday, we're going to take part of the service, a good portion of it, and we're going to honor our military and just say thank you. And we have a special gift for every military family here, every active military family, and we just want to honor you. And we know it's Memorial Day weekend, but we want to honor those who paid the ultimate price, but we want to honor those of you that are currently paying a price. And so thank you for that. So that I always look forward to that. Giving honor to whom honor is due. So that's next Sunday. Let's jump in to the word. Yikes. Pictures on Facebook of gas fill-ups for $125. The talk of $10 a gallon gasoline and shortages. And then fuel oil to heat your house, if you've got that, you know, going on, is $6 a gallon. I've never seen such insanity. And then forget about going to the grocery store. Bring your second mortgage. My gosh, it's gotten bizarre, crazy, almost out of control. You look at that and you go, I mean, I don't know of any of us that have not felt some, maybe the pinch or maybe even a little fear. What do you do? What do you do with that? You just go, oh, nothing I can do about it. Do you do that? Do you say, oh my gosh, I'm just going to just start buying everything I can possibly buy. Just like that person that went in and was caught on video hoarding baby formula of all things. And was accosted. A video of that in a grocery store went viral. It was insanity. You know, what do? Do you just lock down all spending and trip the economy into a recession or further recession? Do you do that? Do you just buy essentials? Do you say, oh, I got to stop giving? What do you do? What do you do? Now, everything I've just said to you, and there's a lot more, is terrible. You know, I have my own opinions about it, but that's not important. You know, I mean, it's terrible, but it's not as bad as some people I want to tell you about today, some Christians I want you to meet today. So, these guys, these Christians, their story is told a little bit in a New Testament book called Hebrews. And the writer writes to them. He's watching them. They're going through some real difficult places, and they have this tendency to want to go back to some of their old ways. And so the writer is simply saying, guys, don't go back to the old ways. Stay on track with Jesus. That's his big theme. Jesus supersedes everything. Stay on, follow him. Stay on track with him. But in the process, we find out a little bit about some of the struggles that they're having. And he writes to them. And he writes to them, and this is what he says in chapter 10. Look at this. He said, you suffered with those who were thrown into jail, and when all you owned was taken from you, you accepted it with joy. You knew there were better things waiting for you that will last forever. Wow. You got to read what comes before that, by the way. Anyway, now, we got back from vacation on Monday. I haven't received any reports of anybody losing their house, their car, or all their possessions because of their faith. Has that happened to anybody? I don't see any hands. That has not happened to anybody here. Okay. So if what I'm about to read to you is a promise to people who have lost so much, what could that promise be? How could it apply to those of us who are now just struggling with ridiculous gas and grocery prices? It can apply, can't it? So I want you to listen to what the writer says to these folks as he gets ready to wrap up his letter in chapter 13. Listen to this little short passage found in Hebrews 13. Don't love money. Be satisfied with what you have. For God has said, I will never fail you. I will never abandon you, so you can say with confidence, the Lord is my helper. Say that with me. The Lord is my helper. He goes on. So I'll have no fear. What can mere people do to me? That's quite a statement. Really quite a statement. What I want to do is I want to give you three simple ways to face financial craziness, challenges, that anybody can do. All of us can do it. It requires no deep understanding of finances of any kind. It's very simple. Notice what he says to these folks. Number one, he says, don't love, and I'm going to add, or trust in money. Now, if I was to take a microphone and run around this church and go, do you love money? I don't think any one of us would stand and say, I love money. I don't think any of us would say that. You know, but how do you know if you do or don't? How do you know that? I mean, there's a tremendous, isn't there just a tremendous sense of when, you know, you go to the, you know, you feel like you've been robbed at the gas pump or the grocery store. And one of the things that goes, man, if I only had more money. I get that, you know. I mean, I get that. But if we're not careful, it can trip us into the loving money. But how do you know if you love money? It's kind of simple, actually. If money is the major factor in your decision-making, you have to back up and ask yourself, wait a minute, what is my priority? You got to stop and ask yourself that question. I mean, if your very first thought and handling anything is, what is it going to cost me? Or am I going to make more? Or am I going to make less? Or what's going to happen to me financially? If that's your very first thought instead of what would God have me to do, I think you've answered your question as to what you love most. It is interesting, isn't it? I mean, it was Jesus who made the very well-known statement that you cannot serve God and money. And interestingly, there he used the word mammon that actually means rival God. Because you know what? God and money will always fight it out for top place. Only one can occupy it. And Jesus warned us that, you know what? You can't do it. It hasn't been done. Paul would take it a little further, and he would say to the just the consumption and the pursuit of money, where it becomes that huge thing in your life, he said, you know what? That's greed, which is idolatry. Paul wasn't one to mince words. Idolatry. What is idolatry? Idolatry is lifting up anything, any entity, any person, any situation, anything where you bow down before and believe that that thing will give you security, power, it'll provide for you, it'll give you significance. That's what an idol is. Gives you an identity and purpose. And Paul said, you know what? When you bow down before money, that idol will grip your soul and will own your soul. Solomon wrote these words. And I think he had a little bit of background in understanding money. The rich think of their wealth as a strong defense. They imagine it to be a high wall of safety. They deceive themselves into thinking that nothing can happen to them. But I think recently we've discovered that something can happen to rich people. You can't put your trust and your confidence in that. And by the way, remember, I said this to you a few weeks ago. You can't go anywhere on the internet today without seeing, Musk in some way, form, meme, or something. But he was a poor man compared to Solomon. Musk might be worth $260 billion. Solomon was worth 10 times that, 2 trillion with a T, when he wrote these words. I think I'll go with him over Musk any day of the week. Oddly, when we give into the temptation of pursuing money as our solution, really bad things happen so often. I mean, isn't it interesting that so many of the world's really mega rich, especially the mega rich people, I mean, their families and their marriages are fractured in most cases. It's just unbelievable. Married multiple times, kids hate them, all kinds of crazy business. You know what? I mean, I don't know. Maybe it's just my Facebook feed. I don't know. But is your Facebook feed like mine? It is just nonstop Johnny Depp and Amber Heard. I now know more about those two people than I've ever wanted to know. My gosh. Johnny Depp, between 1999 and 2015, made $600 million. And yet the guy's a dysfunctional disaster. Okay? I mean, he may be a great Captain Jack Sparrow, but he is a disaster in every other way, it seems. At least that's how he's being portrayed out there. You know, and Amber Heard is like neck and neck, and they're suing the daylights out of each other. I'm like, oh my gosh, I'm glad I'm not in that courtroom. Word, pathetic beyond words. But listen to what Paul says to his young associate, Timothy. But people who long to be rich fall into temptation and trapped by many foolish desires and harmful desire, foolish and harmful desires that plunge them into ruin and destruction. For the love of money, not money, the love of money is the root of all kinds of evil. And some people craving money have wandered from the true faith. He's talking about Christians. Have wandered from the true faith and pierced themselves with many sorrows. Wow, that's kind of rough. When you love money to the point it rules and controls your life, it'll pierce your life with problems, cause you to give in to temptation, and maybe even say, you know what? You won't say it to yourself like this, but what it means, I think I'll pursue this and serve money, and I don't really need God in the church. I really need this. I don't know. If you want to trade your efforts for the efforts of the God of the universe, that's, of course, your call, but I wouldn't do that. Paul would also say this to Timothy. Timothy was pastoring and helping to lead the church in the city of Ephesus. Ephesus at the time was extremely affluent. Extremely affluent. And Timothy's right in the middle of it. There were lots of poor people there too. There were slaves there too. But there were affluent people there too. And he says, teach those who are rich in the world not to be proud and not to trust in their money, which is so unreliable. Did you see that? Their trust should be in God, who richly gives all that we need for our enjoyment. Did you see that? Tell them to use their money to do good. They should be rich in good works and generous to those in need, always being ready to share with others. Now, most of us, we read that and we go, yeah, them rich people, they better read that. Guess who those rich people are? You. Oh, you haven't seen my checkbook, Pastor Brad. Every person in the room, every single one of us in this room, are in the top one, if not top 5% of the world's wealthiest people. Do you know that? The average Ukrainian before the war was making $200 to $250 a week. Average Ukrainian doctor was making $450 a week. I would dare say almost every single one of you in this room that's working full-time is making more than $450 a week, or pretty close. It's important to keep in mind how wealthy we really are. And if, when we say rich, we always think of millionaires and billionaires and trillionaires and all the rest, whatever they are. But really, it's us. It's really us. Let me find out. How many of you here walked a mile to church today? I'm not seeing a hand. Okay, how many of you walked 100 yards to church? How'd you get here? How many of you took a bus? Okay. So y'all came in cars and vans, right? That right there, because you own one or more cars, makes you extremely wealthy. It's an important perspective. I know what you're saying, but you haven't seen my car payment. I probably don't want to. Okay. It's important to have that perspective. Solomon would say this in Proverbs 23. He would say, in the blink of an eye, wealth disappears, for it will sprout wings and fly away like an eagle. Have we seen that this week? The stock market's down like 5,000 points this year. It dropped 1,100 points one day this week. They say it's going to continue to go down. I don't know what's going to go down or go up. It always goes down or goes up, you know. I don't know what's going to happen. I mean, they say some of the world's richest people recently lost $200 billion of their worth. I really feel bad for them, don't you? My heart really bled when I read that article. Not. And I mean, then there's the crypto guys this week. One guy, nearly a billionaire, and one day ended up being worth $3,000. Talk about your wealth sprouting wings and flying away. Can you imagine being a billionaire one day and the next day you're worth $3,000? Put your trust in that. Wow. Imagine that. I know, but I get it. You know, there's always that thought of, well, if I only had more money, I would. And, you know, I get it. There's a lot of truth to that. Yeah, you know. I mean, my father would love to say this. I heard this growing up a lot, you know. And I always wondered if he came up with it or if it was. I tried to Google it to see if it was attributable to anybody else, but I guess he came up with it or said it. But I discovered it was true. He said, and depending upon what was going on, this is how he'd say it. There's no shame in being poor. It's just awful inconvenient. Through my life, I've discovered that's true. That's true. You know, and it is true that, you know what, sometimes, yeah, more money would make things a lot easier. But I've got to tell you this. Again, you've heard some of this before, and it's good for me to remind you. I mean, I've had the opportunity to sit across the table and be in private conversations, sometimes with multimillionaires, which is the funniest thing to me. But anyway, you know. Let me just tell you this story again, too. I had a multimillionaire say, hey, let me show you this picture. You know, I'm like, so I'm looking at this picture. He goes, I bought a horse farm. I'm like, you bought a horse farm? Why'd you buy a horse farm? Because I liked it. Okay. So he showed me all these pictures of a horse farm. He just, on a whim, went out and bought. Now he's talking to a guy that at that point couldn't buy a bale of hay for the horse, you know? And I'm thinking, wow, this is just ridiculous. But he had to be one of the most nasty, unhappy people I have ever met in my life. It was unbelievable. Don't put your confidence or your trust or develop a love for money, because it's not going to take you where you think. Amen? That's the first thing. Here's the second thing. You say, well, that doesn't really relate to me, but this will. This will. Be satisfied with what you have. Are you content with what you have? Can you look at your house? Can you look at your car? Can you look at your clothes? Can you look at all these things? And there's nothing wrong with saying, yeah, I wish it was a little different here and there. There's nothing wrong with that, really, you know? But, I mean, if you can look at that and say, you know what? It may not be perfect. It may not be everything that I want. But you know what? Thank God for my house. Thank God for my car. Thank God for my clothes. Thank God for this food. Amen? Get to that point of contentment. Now, it's interesting to me. The Apostle Paul is in house arrest in Rome when the book of Acts ends. And he writes several letters. One of them is to the church he founded 10 years before that in the Roman colony of Philippi. I love that book. I talk about it often. And Paul writes to them and he goes, hey guys, I just want to thank you for being concerned about me all these years and providing for me and checking on me and praying for me and sending people to help me. Thank you for doing all that. But I just want you to know, he says this in chapter 4, he says, I just want you to know, man, I've been in tough places. I've had nothing. I've had everything. But it doesn't matter. I've learned to be content. Philippians 4:11. That's a powerful statement. He learned to be content regardless of what was happening, regardless of the season. How did he learn to do that? Now, isn't it interesting? It didn't just happen. He learned it through a series of difficulties and challenges and ups and downs. And no matter whether he had a lot or whether he had nothing, he wasn't controlled by that. His contentment remained. That's powerful, isn't it? Some people have nothing and they get very upset and they're not content. Some people have everything and they're still not content. He would say to Timothy, go back to Timothy, yet true godliness with contentment is great wealth. After all, we brought nothing with us when we came into this world. We can take nothing, take anything with us when we leave it. So if we have enough food and clothing, let us be content. Now, I've done lots of funerals. Debbie and I have, you know, officiated many funerals. And you know what? People don't even take their bodies with them. They don't take nothing with them. Well, their body will eventually join them, but not even their body goes with them when they die. Their spirit goes, and all the things that they've done to bless people and to advance God's work, that goes with them, but nothing else. Apostle Paul, of course, knew that. He learned to be content. Let me give you three very simple ways to learn to be content. Because you want to be wealthy, learn to be content. Here's it. Number one, pursue God's purposes in a relationship with Him first. Sounds like Matthew 6:33, doesn't it? Realize that nothing goes with you. Already said that to you. If needs are met, rejoice in that. Okay, so let's practice. I want you to think about your house. I want you to think about your car. I want you to think about what's your clothes. And can you say this with me? Thank you, Lord, for your provision. You're not persuading me. Seems a little on the weak side. Okay, we'll practice it again. Okay, you ready to practice again? I really mean it. Thank you, Lord, for my house, for my car, for my clothes, and whatever else you want. Okay, third time's a charm. You ready to do this with me? Just let's make it simple. Lord, thank you for all that I have. Can we let's just do that? Come on, say it with me. Lord, thank you for all that I have. You can walk in such freedom when you have that in your heart. That's wealth right there. Amen? That's wealth right there. I mean, but okay, I'm gonna tell you a secret. Lean in. I gotta tell you a secret. You listening? Okay. Here's a secret. I knew that they were going to drop the bike and then jump back up, and my voice is going to go old. But anyway, thanks, Dave. Here's the secret. And I stumbled into this secret unwittingly and unknowingly. I can remember saying, God, I don't care. I don't care. It makes no difference to me. I'm happy. Thank God. Glory to God. Hallelujah. I don't care. Whatever. Hallelujah. Totally content. And then the weirdest thing happens. And it happens almost every time. I get to that point, and then God goes, oh, okay. Here, have this blessing, and have that blessing, and here's another one. I'm like, I don't even want it. You know why that is? He goes, because I know where your heart is, and stuff doesn't matter to you. So I'll give you stuff because I know it won't buy your heart. Because your heart belongs to me. See how that works? It's ridiculously crazy. When you get to that point of complete contentment, God, if this is all I ever have, hallelujah, thank you. Then he goes, okay, have this. And you're like, what on earth? I cannot tell you how that's happened to me, and even recently. That's a big secret. I hope you'll embrace it. Here's the third thought I want to share with you. Be confident. Be confident that God will provide. I want you to hear this part again. We sang it up there. Matter of fact, I think I'm going to change things, sweetheart. At the end, I want the band to come back at the end. We're going to do the goodness of God again. I think we should change it to that, please. For God has said, I will never fail you. I will never abandon you. Now, we as Christians, we love to quote that verse of Scripture. And we should. We should. But again, it's context, context, context. What is that verse in its context? Do you know what that verse is in its context, right? It's talking about God's financial and material provision. That's what it's talking about. You know, I don't want to become a prosperity preacher, but I believe in God's provision. You know, I mean, holy smokes, look at this. Do you see what it says there? And who he's saying it to? He's not saying, oh, when the economy is going great, then I will provide for you. When gas is cheap, you'll have no problems. Does it say that there? No, it doesn't say that there. You know? Oh, you know, when food is plentiful, you know, then I'll take care of you. No, it doesn't say that. It says what? What does it say there? Read this with me. I will never fail you. I will never. Does that mean you? And you? And you? And you over there? You over there? Does that mean you? Are you included in the you? Is there anybody that's not included in the you? Okay, just want to check. It's you. And me. Now think about this. Does the Lord have practice when it comes to, you know, to preparing and providing? Hello, Genesis opens up with God creating the heavens and the earth. He creates the earth. He fills it with plants and animals, all kinds of vegetation. He goes, hey, I'm going to stick this dude in the middle of it. Look, he provided all of that, and then he puts Adam in it. Adam had everything that he needed. Boom. And then, of course, Eve comes along. Isn't it? That was a compliment. That wasn't anything else. It was a compliment. Come on, you guys. Come with some slack. I just got back from vacation. Come on. Holy smokes. Can we rewind the video? We'll try that again. All right. Can we do that? All right. Oh, my gosh. All right. Well, again, it was a compliment. Okay. All right. So the Lord provides all of that. But you know what? You look in the book, man. He's got a lot of experience providing for people, doesn't he? I mean, look at that. I mean, the quote-unquote children of Israel, when they leave Egypt and they step out into the wilderness, their population eventually became about 2 million is what we think. And he fed them 6 days a week for 40 years. That's a pretty good track record, don't you think? One day was off because it was the Sabbath. They gathered twice as much on the last day. Interestingly enough, it says that their clothes never wore out. There was no TJ Maxx out in the wilderness. Okay? So their clothes never wore out. I mean, some of you, that would be a curse, you know? You know, their clothes never wore out. Their feet never swole. You know, he uses a bird to feed a prophet. You know, I mean, what about the widow who says, man, I got enough flour and enough oil for one cake, and then my son and myself are going to die. And you know, the prophet goes, yeah, no, it's not going to work like that. And through the entire famine, she just keeps pouring flour and keeps pouring oil, and it never runs dry. I go into the grocery store, and I look at the prices, and I'm like, holy smokes. But then my head goes, but I serve a God who can take a box of cereal and make it last a week or two or three. if need be. I serve a God, if I need him to, he can cause a tank of gas to go 2 and 3 weeks if I needed him to. My God is big enough to take care of me, and he's got a lot of practice in doing it. Doesn't he? How about this? I mean, come on. Another wilderness, and Jesus says, okay, guys, feed them, they're hungry. And they're like, well, feed them. How are we going to feed these guys? And of course, he takes 5 little loaves and 2 fishes. Debbie and I have eaten some of those fishes. They call it St. Peter's fish out of the Sea of Galilee. They're bony. They taste good, but they're really bony, kind of small. You know, tastes good, but that's all this kid had. How does a little boy's lunch feed 17,000 people, 5,000 men, and probably 12,000 women and kids? How's that happen? Your God has a lot of experience stretching stuff when he needs to. Amen? Yeah. Trust him in that. So we can say with confidence, the Lord is my helper, so I will have no... Where's the big lion? I took the big lion down too soon. No fear. I will have no fear. What can mere people do to me? You have to choose not to give in to fear and despondency. You have to choose to trust. God is faithful. He will care for me. No matter what, the Lord is not going to stop caring for you. I didn't say it would be easy. You know? But when you're truly serving the God of the universe, if you're a Christian, God has made a commitment to you to care for you. And he's serious about that. Our commitment goes up and down, in and out, all kind of crazy all the time. His commitment never wavers. What he says, he'll do. You can trust that. He can't trust us half the time, but we can trust him. You know? He's your helper. No matter what threatens you or who threatens you, God is your helper. It was 3 o'clock, or almost 3 o'clock. At 3:15, I had to get in my van and make the trek from Mystic, where in the other house that we were living in, to Springfield, Mass. The agreement was that I have the van by 5 o'clock at the bank, turn it in, and give them the keys. Couldn't pay for it. Making the payments was no big deal when in the previous job, but you know, when we started Seaport, that first year was pretty rough. We took a 70% pay reduction to come here and do this. And I just couldn't pay for the van. A month behind, 2 months behind, nearly 3 months behind. I'm fighting the bank. Guy called me up that day and he said, okay, either you turn it in or we're sending the repo man to your house. Oh my gosh. I said, don't send the repo guy. Be extra charges for that. I'll bring it to you. And I made the agreement. You'll have it there by 5 o'clock today. It was going to be bad. It was going to be really bad. It was the only vehicle that we had. And the church's equipment rode around all week in that van. Lindsay somehow found a little spot. I mean, she was just a kid. And everything else was loaded with stuff for the church. I'll be very honest with you. I've learned a lot of lessons, you know, since that time. But on that day, I was fearful, I was despondent, and I just didn't care. I just didn't care. I didn't care to the degree that I made arrangements to take that van up there and made no arrangements to get home. I said to myself, I just don't care. I'll walk the 80 miles home, whatever. That was my plan. It was 3 o'clock. I had to be in the van at 3:15 to get it there, honor my commitment. Man, this is bad. Two of my brothers found out the plight that I was in. I don't even know how they found out about it, but they found out about it. I didn't broadcast it. They came to my door at 3 o'clock. I'll never forget. Craig, Gary, threw down checks. They were big checks. Took care of the, what I was in arrears with the bank. I called up the guy at the bank and I said, I got the money. I'm not coming today. He said to me, well, you better just come anyway because you're in a problem. This is just going to happen to you again. Just turn that thing into there. I said, look, I'm not coming today. God would raise up another man. And Lynn, I'm still grateful. Lynn Davis, I'm still grateful for what you did for me all those years ago, 32 years ago now. Lynn helped me get out from underneath that van, get Debbie and I into another vehicle. He used all of his background and experience as a former top car salesman in the area. He knew the game, and he played it with them. And got us out of a very difficult spot. God is faithful. And it may take you to the living edge, but he will prove himself faithful. You do not have to fear or be afraid or wonder what they're going to do to you because God has already got it figured out and you gotta trust him. Stand with me right now. And simply this, I want the band to come back. We're going to sing this song as we close. Hallelujah. You know what, friends? You know what? It's very simple thoughts here. Very, very simple thoughts. You know what? Here they are, very simply, you know. I mean, don't love or trust money. Be satisfied with what you have. And number three, be confident that God will provide. Do you believe it? Look at all the crazy stuff that's going around and just simply, and it's happening, just simply say, but my God is big enough. Say it with me, my God is big enough. My God is big enough. We thank you right now, Lord. We thank you for your awesome goodness. We thank you for your care. We thank you, Lord, for your provision. Sometimes it's wild, it's crazy, it's out on the edge. But you're faithful. And we trust you. We trust you. Hallelujah. Let's sing this song, The Goodness of God. We were going to sing a different song, but I thought, nah, we better sing this song again. Let's sing this song. You need prayer for any reason, there's some folks that'll come up here in the front and they'll pray with you. They'll pray with you confidentially. They'll come, you guys can come stand across the front and just pray. If you have a need, they'll pray with you about anything. If you need to know what it means to follow Jesus, they'll help you with that. But let's sing this song and then we're going to close. Faithful. of the goodness of God. You need prayer? Come on. Just before we go, just simply say this with me. God, you're so good. Come on, say it with me. God, you're so good. He's faithful and he's true. Thank you, Lord. I know, Lord, that there are some folks in this church that are struggling. They're hard places. I know that. Maybe some of them that are just feeling like I felt on that day. Just didn't care anymore. I'd given up. But you came through. And I pray for anybody that's in that place today. Step in, Lord. You already know. We trust you. Thank you, Father. Dismiss us now in your great grace, we pray. Those of you coming to Salt, we're going to start at 11:30. Head right in there for lunch. We'll go on from there. God bless all of you guys. God is faithful. Never forget that. He's faithful. Amen. Bless you.
Of your goodness all over. I see.